All right. This is almost the end of the year. In fact, 12 days, and it's the end of the year, if I counted correct. And so that's what I want to talk to you about. I want to talk about finishing strong. The way you finish the year is how you'll enter next year. That's a principle in life. How you leave somewhere is how you enter the next place. If you end the year in defeat, you'll start the new year in defeat. But if you end the year strong and victorious, then you'll start the new year that way. You know, a lot of times people talk about starting projects, and I usually go to the sports arena because that's what I did a lot. And it's one thing to start strong, but it's another thing to finish strong. I forget, I read it one time, I can't even remember it now, this was in years ago, that I forgot, it was a large percent, over 50%, I forget what it was, that people had projects that they started in their garage and they're still there years later. Now, I don't imagine anybody in this audience, I'm not going to accuse anybody in this audience of starting a project and it still hadn't been finished yet. You know, in running track, I've seen a lot of people that, especially running more of the distance races, start out really good and fast, but they didn't finish. You know, I sort of call these people that they start fast and fizzle out. They're like a shooting star. They fly across the sky and then they gradually just fade out. You know, in the entertainment world, you'll find people that they start, they have one big hit, and that's it. They don't know how to keep going. Have you ever seen somebody start out with great enthusiasm about something, but they didn't have the ability to endure to the finish line? You know, the Apostle Paul is an example of someone that finished strong. In 2 Timothy 4:7, it says, I fought the good fight, I finished the race, I remain faithful. Paul is making this statement actually toward the end of his life. And he's declaring this to Timothy of what he had done. In one sense, he could say, I won the fight. I won. He, in another sense, he's just saying, I've accomplished everything that God has told me to do. But he remained faithful, he remained focused, and he did not let any of the trials and circumstances he faced. He was beaten with rods 3 times, beaten with the whip, he was left for dead. You can go read it there in 2 Corinthians. He talks all about it. But he finished strong. Even when he was in the Philippian prison, writing Philippians, in the prison, writing to the Philippians, he said, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Well, he wasn't in a place to rejoice, but he said rejoice. You know, we need to finish strong. Faith, and finish strong in pursuing God's will, finish strong in obeying God, finish strong in our place where God has us. Finishing strong requires cultivating a set of attitudes. You have to put yourself in a position of saying, I am going to accomplish this no matter what happens. An attitude in the natural is, I'm going to finish. An attitude in the spiritual, and I'm depending on God for help and strength. I'm having an attitude of my faith in God's promises. The attitude, my attitude, I cannot be defeated, I will not quit. Part of that is part of the Hagin DNA. I've seen it in my uncles, another one. One time, I was about 16, I think, so maybe 17. And Uncle Pat, my dad's youngest brother, he was wrestling with me. And he got me in one of these arm locks, and I couldn't get out. And he kept saying, you know, say uncle. And I said, you can break my arm, but I am not going to give in. That's just an attitude I've had. You know, I can't recall his name now. I wasn't even thinking about it until just now it came to me. There was a runner in the Mexico Olympics, I believe it was, that he was from a small African nation, and he was running the marathon. It was probably about an hour, I believe, after everybody else had finished. In fact, they were getting ready and closing up the stadium and so forth, and all of a sudden they heard some sirens and stuff, and this lone figure come in, and when you run a marathon, you have to run around the track. And he was bleeding, he was limping, and when the story's told, he had fallen I don't know how many times and then people wanted to help him, and he said no, they said, finally when he finished, they said, why in the world did you not quit? Everybody else finished about an hour ago. He said, my country didn't send me, I remember how many thousand miles it was, to start a race. They sent me to finish a race. And I think that's finishing strong. He may not have won, but he finished. In fact, and that brings me another, just brought up something else. When Craig was 8, 9 years old, and even older then, into the 10 years, we had motorcycles, and we never rode on the street because it's too dangerous. But we rode enduros races, and you got to go through the woods and between trees and down and up. And he had just started riding. He had a little KDX 180, and I was riding my 175. Huh?
80, not a 180.
Oh, yeah, an 80. Yeah, an 80. I had a 175. He had an 80. Anyway, the kids had a course, and we had a course, but we all come to a place, and it was the refueling station where you refueled and put fuel in. And I'd been waiting and waiting, and finally here he came. And he's dragging his feet to stop. His brake pedal is bent back underneath. His clutch is bent down. His front brake is bent down. And I said, you want to stop? I said, the sweep truck will be coming by and pick you up. And he said, no, I want to finish. So I bent everything back in place that I could, as much as I could. So I went ahead and we finished. And we were all, there was a whole group of us from Tulsa that ran. And we were all waiting. And coming out of the woods, here comes this kid on this little green KDX 80. And he's bent over and he's got it wide open. And the sweep truck is behind you. If the sweep truck catches you up, they put you back on the truck and you're done, you know. And we're all hollering, come on, come on, Craig, come on. He come flying by and he said, no brakes, no brakes. And he's dragging his boots and we ran and catch him. But he finished and he was so proud he finished. He's probably last one to finish because I think he was one of the only kids that actually finished the course. But anyway, everybody that did that race was so bad. I mean, it was so, in fact, they brought a stick by measuring your handlebars, and if they were too long, you couldn't even get through the trees. In fact, I cut an inch, took my gas throttle and stuff off, and I cut an inch on each side of my handlebars off in order to put everything back together in order to be able to run the race. But we all got a pin that said, we finished. Whether you got the first people in, they got some trophies, but everybody got a pin that said they finished Lester's Tester, I think they called it. Wasn't that what they called it, Greg? Something like that. It's an attitude that nothing is going to stop me from succeeding. Now, you need to have that in your spiritual life, but you need to have that in your natural life also. You know, natural and spiritual. You know, in running a long distance race, if you know anything about it, you maybe a marathon or a 5K, you have to know how to set a pace that will let you finish strong. If you go out too fast, any of you ever run 5K or 10K? How many of you run that? Saw several of them take off, and you come after a while, you pass them because they done fizzled out because they didn't set the pace. You got to do that. You know, I went to Bible school with people and graduated, took off in ministry. Man, they rose up, bam. They had all kinds of invitations to minister, and it seemed like they were running circles around me. I'm still here. I don't know where they're at. Hadn't heard of them in years. Hello. Maybe some of y'all don't know it, some of you do. That John Hagee, or Johnny I call him, we started Bible school the same time. We were 18 years old in Bible school. I've known him since that time. And I was talking to him, it's been a few years back now, several years back now. I was talking to him and he said, Hagee, he said, we're still going. Where's all them other? And we had a name for those guys. We called them the Holy Joes. They thought this better than everybody else. And in homiletic class and stuff, of course, they couldn't out-preach John, that's for sure. But they was up here like this, you know. Now you don't even know where they're at. But I'm still here, and I'm going to finish strong. And I'm going to be around for a while. I'm not intending on going nowhere. I told somebody, I said, you're going to retire? I said, Lord, no, I'm not going to retire. I said, I might slow down, but I'm not going to retire. I'm going to stay around. Now, finishing strong, you do it in the might of the Lord. Ephesians 6:10, a final word, NLT. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you'll be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. And then it goes on to talk about we're not fighting, we're fighting against, not against flesh and blood and so forth and so on. Now, as you begin to look at this, we are to be strong in the Lord, not ourselves. I didn't say it would be easy. There will be battles to fight. There's an enemy that wants to stop you from being successful both naturally and spiritually because he wants to destroy you. You know, he will do different things to discourage you spiritually, but he will send things in your pathway to put fear in you to keep you from stepping out in the natural and accomplishing. He wants you to be unsuccessful. You know, why does he do it? Because he wants you to not finish. He wants you, he thinks if you encounter all these difficulties and all these hardships, I'm talking about both spiritually and naturally, that you'll just give up, throw up your hands, and say, what's the use? In the natural, I've seen that happen. I've seen people, they keep bumping their head up against a brick wall, so to speak, and they just say, oh, what's the use? And they quit, and they never accomplish anything. You know, when you have been preaching every night, every Sunday night for about 6 years, and all of a sudden you're doing nothing but setting up crusades and traveling all over and being the front man and, you know, making the announcements. Hey, I used to make pretty good announcements. I don't anymore, thank God. I don't have to. But, you know, and my wife will tell you, the enemy started working on me. And I was about ready to get out of the will of God. In fact, I went and tried out for some churches. Thank God I had enough experience when I talked to the board and they said some things I knew I didn't want to mess with that. So I walked away from it. But if I had let that happen, I wouldn't be here today. We were talking and she just finally said, well, you're going to do what God's called you to do, or you're going to do something else? And I said, well, I'm going to do what God called me to do. And so I'm not going to talk about you, but I'm sure none of you had these, but I had the enemy throwing things at me. You know, going all the way back to, I just got out of the Army in August, and we got married in December the 30th in 1965, and here it is. I'm trying to get started in the ministry, and it's about the last of January or so, and I get a call from the State Department wanting me to come down and talk to them about going to work and going to work in the embassy, you know, and doing some of the same things I did in the Army. They knew what I did in the Army, and I wasn't going to have to start on the bottom rung. I'm starting way up here in a high deal. And what was it? I think you had all your medical and all kinds of stuff, and was it $1,600 a month? Was it
$15,000 a year,
and that's a lot. That was a lot of money in '66. And I was really excited about it, because man, I couldn't get no meetings. I think I preached one time or something, and I couldn't get no meetings and stuff. And so she walked in. She was working at a job. And she walked in, and I was so excited, and I was telling her about all this. She looked at me and said, I married a preacher, and I intend to live with a preacher, and turned around and walked out the door and slammed the door and jumped in the car and took off. Well, we didn't have but one car.
So I'm there in the house, and actually we staying in Mom and Dad's house because they're out on the road traveling all the time. They don't come home anyway. And I started thinking, I said, you know what? That's not what I've been called to do. You know what? I never even called them back. But why am I telling you that? Because I want you to see that I had to face those situations. You'll have to face situations in your life, both in the natural and the spiritual, that will keep you from succeeding. You know, Paul encountered many difficulties and hardships, but yet it would have been easy to quit, but he didn't. You know, I don't know how many people I've seen, when they encounter difficulties, they just throw up their hands, oh, it's all over. No, it's not. That's when, you know, old Vince, Coach Vince Lombardi had a statement, said, when it's tough, the tough get going, or something like that. Yeah, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. Yeah, I finally got it. You know, I had a coach named by the name of John Fenderson that I played basketball for, and on the blackboard, because we didn't have it back in 1956-57 school year, I was going to Canada Bible Academy. You didn't have a grease board. You had a blackboard and a white piece of chalk, and you wrote on it with that. Anybody go to school when they did that? Anybody have to clean the ever have to clean the erasers? Anyway, he had on that board, he said, if you played the game and you didn't get at least four fouls, you didn't play hard enough. If you got five fouls and fouled out, you played stupid. That's what it said. And I want you to know, he expected everybody to have four fouls but not foul out. Now, the way we played basketball back in the day, we'd all get kicked out for flagrant fouls because back when I played, it was called the roughest non-contact sport that there was. In fact, he told me one night, and he said, Hagin, you play in the middle, and if they go in there and they go up with their arm for a lay-in, take their arm off. But you know, as I have lived my life, I have learned, and I guess that's why I have that saying, I cannot be defeated and I will not quit. Because in the midst of the battle, in the midst of adversity, that's the word I should say, you have to be deep rooted. You know, a plant that's not deep rooted in the heat of the summer, it'll die. But to be victorious in the spiritual, how do you get deep rooted? By getting into the Word of God, studying the Word. How do you get deep rooted in the natural? Whatever your profession, whatever you're doing, you study it, you learn about it, you learn how to do things and accomplish things that others don't, because they're just going through the motions and you're studying, you're finding out things about how to do something. I used to teach a class here at school called Practical Ministries, and I told those students, the ministerial students, I told them, I said, learn all you can, even if it's not what not to do. I said, when you get a chance to talk to somebody I used to do it when I travel on the weekends and go out and preach and come back, time for school, Rhema to start. And when I'd sit on the airplane, I'd find out what the person sitting next to me, I'd find out what they did, and then I'd start asking them questions about their profession. Well, you can learn a lot that way. And so I encourage you, in the natural, learn everything you can about whatever job you have. It may help you to get promoted when somebody else didn't. My buddy, Jerry Crawford, he went to work for Texas Instruments right out of high school. And several years later, a position came open that required a college education. Well, the head of that department he worked in told the boss, he said, "Hey, I got a kid, not a kid, but a man down here now. I said, he can do that job. Now, he don't have a college education, but he has applied himself and found out some things and done some things, and he got promoted and got the job. Not because he just didn't go to work, come home, go to work. He studied what he was doing, and it made off. You know, if you don't study the Word, then you're not going to be deep-rooted. And you have to get to the point, what Paul said in Philippians, "I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me." And that's not spiritual, that's all. That's natural and spiritual. And my coach used to say, you got to believe you can before you can. You know, Amplified Classic says, "I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I'm ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength into me. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency." The Good News Translation says, "I have strength to face all conditions by the power that Christ gives me." This is Paul talking, and he's not just talking about the spiritual side. He said all things, and he didn't put a disclaimer on it and say spiritual. He said all things. That includes everything that you do, spiritually and naturally. If you're going to make it to the finish line, you got to keep depending on God's power. You got to keep feeding on God's promises. You got to keep believing that you have the strength according to the Word of God. And you got to keep saying, "I can do it because God gives me strength." You know, I use that scripture quite often. In Romans, it says the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead will quicken or infuse or strengthen your mortal body. That's this body right here. You need to learn to use that scripture. That'll help you finish strong. When you feel weak, say, "I'm strong." You know, there's a good illustration in the Word of God of somebody that finished strong. His name was Caleb. He went into the promised land, and now he is going back to the promised land. You can read it in Numbers 13, 14, the whole story there. And then after that, in Numbers 13, 30, he still the people, "Let's go up and take the land. We certainly can conquer it. We can go up against them." And the men that with him said, "We can't. We're weaker. We're not strong enough. We can't." We can't never does anything. Miss Fowler, my first grade teacher, wrote on the board one time because Johnson. He said, "I can't, Miss Fowler," and she wrote on the board in big letters, "Never say I can't. Always say I can. Always be positive." And then my dad used to tell me, "Son, stay on the positive side. Don't get negative. You get negative, you never accomplish anything." Then he always told me about setting my goals. He said, "Just set your goals high, and if you reach half of them, you've done something. If you set your goals low and you reach all of them, you hadn't accomplished nothing." That's what my dad told me, and so that's what I've always tried to do. Now, here it is. 40 years later, he goes to Joshua in Joshua 14:6, and he says, he's telling Joshua, "I was 40 years old when Moses sent me into Kadesh Barnea to explore the land of Canaan. And I returned and gave an honest report." He goes on and talks about how the event, and he said, now you can see the Lord has kept me. This is verse 10 of Joshua 14. "Now you can see the Lord has kept me alive and well and has promised me all these 45 years since Moses made the promise, even while Israel wandered in the wilderness. Today I'm 85 years old. I'm as strong now as I was then when Moses sent me in the journey, and I can still travel and fight as well. So give me the hill country the Lord promised me." You see, and when you go and read about it, that's where the giants were. Now, old Caleb, he is finishing strong. He had to wait 40-something years, but he's finishing strong. And he went. So Joshua blessed Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and gave him Hebron to him as his portion of land. And that's Hebron's where the giants were. In the natural, Caleb said, "Hey, I'm still physically strong." But how was he physically strong? Because of his faith. He finished strong, possessing the land. This is a picture of the believer not quitting, finishing strong, possessing what God had promised. Tonight, all I want to do to you is encourage you to finish the year strong and start the new year strong and stay strong always in the power and the might of the Lord, because if you do, you will accomplish everything that God has asked you to accomplish. I believe it. Everybody stand. Did you get something out of this tonight? Hallelujah. It's just a little something. Say this with me. "I am strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I am strong in faith. I will not quit. I will not be defeated. I will finish strong and be victorious." Amen and amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Trust you received something tonight. If you be in this congregation tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, I want you to know him. Or you need to rededicate your life to Christ, I want you to do that. Or you need prayer for any reason whatsoever, the ladies are here. The men are over on this side. As we're dismissed, you come down here, they'll pray with you, and you won't leave here like you came, in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the word tonight. May each of us grab a hold of what we need to accomplish in our lives, naturally and spiritually. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, or so be it. God bless you. We'll see you Sunday morning right here. If you need prayer for any reason, come to the front right now. God bless. Don't forget all of the holiday things that are going on, especially the carols, candlelight, and communion service. God bless.